Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're starting the show today by talking about the Badger volleyball team. And we have three people from the team with us today on the show. Head coach Kelly Sheffield with us. Kelly, welcome. Thanks for taking time.
Larry, thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you here. Of course, two of his players, All-American setter Sydney Hilly. Sydney, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
And All-American middle blocker Dana Retke. Dana, thank you for joining us as well.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan, so I've really been looking forward to this show. And as you listen to these three talk, I hope you'll join in. They had a great but unusual season, and we'll find out about that and what it takes to have so many winning seasons. And certainly, again, love to hear from you. Are you a volleyball fan? Maybe you have a child playing volleyball. Maybe you've got a question about the team, or maybe just comment. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Kelly, you had a remarkable season. You're ranked number one seed going into the NCAA tournament. A tough loss to Texas. I'm sure that was a heartbreaker for you and the team, but you were pretty positive afterwards. I thought your comments were pretty upbeat.
You know, the last matches of the year, you know, when you lose, I mean, those are tough. You're looking at your team and it's different people go different ways and you add some new pieces. So it's never going to be quite the same. And this was a heck of a, you know, it was a heck of a journey. It was a heck of a year. It's, I think we were so fortunate to be able to play. I was very thankful for the players and the effort that they gave to give themselves a chance. They stayed together and they did everything. They did everything that we asked them to do, a lot of sacrifices. And at the end of the day, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to, put it all out there. You're going up against opponents that are putting it all out there as well. Sometimes, unfortunately, it ends in a loss, but the effort was there. And, I was just so thankful to be able to coach this group and to ride it out. And quite frankly, we're in a, we're kind of in a bubble situation out there in Omaha. And I really felt like the team grew even closer together during that time. And so it was a challenging season, but it was an awesome year.
Yeah, it was indeed. I had seen you play many times on television. Well, Sydney, what was it like being in that bubble?
Yeah, actually, I really enjoyed the bubble. It was a great opportunity to be around the team so much and just bond with everybody. Throughout the year, there were some times where we weren't able to see the rest of the team without masks on. And once we got into the bubble, it was like, we got to see each other every single day, get to see our smiles, get to play games just like spike ball and ping pong, just have fun together. I thought we, like Kelly said, we definitely got closer as a team in the bubble, and it was just a really great opportunity for us.
Yeah, it was indeed. It was a kind of a tough year, pandemic-wise, for the team. What were you going through during that kind of weird season?
Yeah, I mean, if you would have asked me my freshman year if I would be playing volleyball in a pandemic, I would have said you were crazy. But we pulled it out, and it really came down to just the dedication and the drive that this team had. The season was absolutely not easy. We were really only allowed to see the people that we lived with, and we were going to practice seeing our teammates, but constantly wearing masks. There was definitely some bumps in the road, got shut down, didn't play as many games as we would have hoped, but I think throughout the whole process, it made us grow closer together as a team and honestly came out stronger because of it. I think that there's so much that I'm going to take away into life after the pandemic, just being so grateful for the opportunities that we have, grateful to be around people, grateful to see people's faces, grateful to be able to have people in the stands in the field house. I mean, those are some things that I think are easy to take for granted, and definitely gained a larger perspective on life, and just really excited that we were able to play a season this year. I know that was a huge question going into the spring and kind of this whole time. So really thankful for the opportunity and happy that we were able to play a tournament as well.
Yeah, for sure. And Kelly, I was trying to remember how many matches you actually had prior to the tournament. Was it like 15 or something?
Probably around there. I don't know. Sid, Dana, you guys remember exactly how many we had going in?
I think it was 13.
13?
Yeah, 13. Yeah, we got a couple victories due to forfeits, but we really didn't work up too much of a sweat during that. No, what one of the challenges was, you know, we played three matches in the 2 months leading up to the tournament. And, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, we just, it's hard to find a rhythm under those circumstances. But, you know, there were some times that we were playing some pretty darn good volleyball out there in Omaha. And that's when you're getting so few competition opportunities, that's a challenge.
That is indeed. And you guys are, Dana and Sydney, you're such amazing athletes. It's so, I got to tell you, it is just so much fun to watch you and the rest of your teammates play. And I didn't grow up playing volleyball, so I don't know. I didn't learn all of the, and still don't know, all of the tactics and what goes into it. But I've learned a lot just by watching you play. And I would recommend anybody right now who is interested in the team and how athletic they are to go to the UW volleyball website. And I think there's something like 10 or 15 amazing plays of the year. Take a look at those. Take a look at those plays, those videos, and you will be, I'm sure, impressed with the athletic ability of this group. They're just amazing athletes. John in Elkhorn has a question. Let's go there. John, hi.
Good morning. Dana, did I just hear you say something relative to wanting to see people in the field house?
Yes, of course.
Well, let me ask you something. Are you coming back?
So me personally, I'm still in the process of making that decision. I'm really focusing on school right now and taking care of what I need to take care of and looking at all of my options. So I will be making a decision here in the future, but for right now, we will see.
We will see what we will see. And Kelly, maybe you can explain for people why a senior this season has a chance to come back for another year.
You know, the NCAA made the decision that this year wouldn't count against anybody's eligibility. And I think the reason for that is because, you know, we weren't quite sure what we were going to get. You know, was season's going to be canceled halfway through like it was last spring? And, you know, if they were going to go forward with allowing seasons to happen, they can't have massive amounts of players or teams opting out for fear of losing a year of eligibility. So I think it was the right decision. It empowers the players. It's to be able to play and get under their belt what they wanted to, but also without losing that year. And so, you know, the players that are deciding to coming back, it's a pretty cool deal for them. You know, being able to maybe get a year of grad school paid for. on the back end of it. But, you know, it just gives people options. And I think when people have options, it's that's always good.
Yeah, I would agree. And this is, of course, true for not just volleyball, but for all the sports, NCAA sports. And Sydney, you're an academic All-American, and I believe you are coming back, right?
Yes, I am coming back. I'm super excited about that, just to have another opportunity to play, hopefully in front of a sold-out Fieldhouse crowd again. And like Kelly said, I'll be able to keep working towards my master's degree, which is in applied biotechnology.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. Dana, what is your major?
I am majoring in marketing and risk management and insurance.
Okay, so both I know as a professor myself at the UW-Madison, and in addition to hosting this show, I know those are challenging majors. Dana, how long have you been playing?
I started playing volleyball when I was 15 years old.
So you got started, is that kind of late for some?
Yeah. It's pretty late. Most kids start when they're, I believe, 10, sometimes even maybe 8, younger than that even. So it was definitely a later start for me, for sure.
Yeah. Sydney, I believe your parents played college sports. You must have started early.
Yeah, I think I started playing when I was like 7 years old, and I was the youngest kid out on the court playing like for a 12-year-old team when I was 7 or 8. So I'm very thankful that my parents decided to throw me into volleyball right away.
And did you, I'm curious, did you, Sydney, play other sports as well?
Yeah, when I was younger, I pretty much played everything. Volleyball, basketball, soccer, softball, dance, all of it. But when I got a little bit older, I narrowed it down to just volleyball and basketball. Volleyball was my true love, and basketball I also loved, and those are both the sports that my parents played in college, so it was pretty cool for me to have them to support me and coach me along the way.
Yeah. Dana, what about you? How long were you playing only volleyball or other sports as well?
Yeah, similar to Sydney, I was kind of doing it all. I was big basketball player before I picked up volleyball, really into dance. I did track, soccer, swimming, softball. I was a cheerleader for a little bit, kind of did it all. And that's what I love to do. I love to be involved with people, be involved in sports, meet new people. It was a really fun time for me.
Yeah. Kelly, let's talk about that for a minute. Here's two young women who were involved in a lot of sports. Do you think that's a good thing? You know, and then maybe finally eventually narrow it down?
You know, this is news to me that Dana was a cheerleader. I'm just thinking there's just so many opportunities that we could have used that information in the past. let's see some of those picks, Dana, when you get the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, I'll send them your way. Don't worry.
here's the thing, Larry, about both of those two. I mean, Dana and Sydney are just really, really elite athletes. You know, beyond their skill, they move really well, and they learn. Both of them learn very quickly. And the reason is because they know their bodies. And I think being able to be a multi-sport athlete really helps the learning process. I think it helps with injuries along the way of staying healthy. So I think that's really helped both of them get to this point in their volleyball careers.
Yeah, I absolutely. Talking today, beginning the show by talking about the UW-Madison volleyball team with our three guests, Kelly Sheffield, Coach Sheffield, two of his players, Sydney Hilly and Dana Redke. And you can join in, too. Questions or comments, you can email us at ideas@WPR.org or give a call 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Jill Nadeau, our producer today. Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Talking Badger volleyball today with Kelly Sheffield, coach of the team, and players Sydney Hilly and Dana Redke, both All-Americans and wonderful students and people as well. Pat emailed that he grew up watching Sydney's father torment foes in North Central Conference basketball games at North Dakota State University. He was later taught and coached by both of Sydney's parents in high school in South Dakota. Being a resident of Wisconsin now, it's been a real pleasure for Pat's kids and family to watch the team over the years. And just wanted to say, be proud of all you accomplished. That's pretty cool, Sydney.
Yeah, small world. That's super awesome to hear.
I loved it. Pat, thanks for that email. Barb in Green Bay, we'll go to you. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I just wanted to congratulate the team, the coach, and everybody involved. I think it's great that the Title IX, which started in 1972, I believe, and it's so amazing that UW-Madison had this championship, and congratulations. I played basketball I got into high school in 72, and I was on the first state championship team in Wisconsin. And I know that, you know, the crowds were pretty thin back in those days, but the excitement that the volleyball team generated in Madison made me so proud. So congratulations.
Oh, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it, Barb. Kelly, a comment. Title IX, boy, did that make a difference.
Yeah, it's obviously a game changer. And that's, I think we all are standing on Barb's shoulders and the people that were competing and not just competing, but fighting back then for the opportunities that we all have. And the growth has been amazing even during my time in this. And we certainly don't take this for granted.
Yeah. And Barb, I'm old enough. I probably saw you play in that state tournament back then. Yeah, I have a daughter, Emily, who's she runs cross country and she plays soccer. And I look at the abilities of the and she's not. Her cousin is an All-American, but in soccer, but Emily is not. But she's. She's pretty good, and the level of competition is so much better. Kelly, you know, you have an amazing record since you started in 2013. What does it take to have so many winning teams? How's it done?
First of all, you got to have a great team around you. You know, the staff and the support from the administration. I think those things are absolutely critical. And then you've got to be able to identify and recruit and bring in people that are kind of want the same things. You know, people that are selfless, that are in it for each other more than themselves, that are willing to sacrifice. People that are passionate about the game. Because if you're not passionate about it, then you're not going to put in the work on your own. You've got to be competitive. So you've got to identify the right types of people. And, this program isn't for everybody. And I think it starts out with that. You've got to be able to recruit, and then you've got to have a culture where people can thrive and grow. And and then I think finally, you've got to have some really, really good leaders within the program. People that are bought in, people that can, that will, empower their teammates, that will inspire their teammates, but also will hold them accountable and, kind of set the temperature in the gym. And, I think all of those pieces have to come together. And we've been really fortunate in that area.
Yeah, for sure. Sid, you were team captain for 3 years. Kind of what comes with that responsibility?
Yeah. First of all, it was a great honor to be voted by all my teammates to be captain. But when you're captain, you're pretty much just the link between the team and the coaches, and you're making sure that the communication is smooth from back and forth and just piecing everything together. And you're also the person that people look to in hard moments and in the good moments, just to be able to lead and set a great example. And I think everyone, whether you're a captain or not, has a leadership role on this team, which is something that's really special about this program. And it's a part of this winning culture that everyone knows how to lead. So I'm really thankful for that opportunity to just be able to lead my teammates.
Yeah. And Dana, you're a four-time All-American. I'm not going to ask you what it takes. I think, you know, we kind of know what it takes. I'm wondering what advice you have. You know, my daughter Emily is a senior. She'll be going on to college in the fall. But what advice do you have for maybe a player who would like to be, or at least aspire to be, somewhere near as successful as you've been?
I think it really comes from finding the right fit for you, especially in the sport of volleyball. My teammates do so much, and when I get awards such as that, you know, I consider them team awards. I don't pass my own balls. I don't set my own balls. It's really about the whole team effort going into each of those awards. So just making sure that you're around people that are super driven and that want the best for you and the best for the team. In the sport of volleyball, it's such a team sport. So making sure that you find the right fit and that you're around people as talented and driven as the ones I'm around. And that's really what I credit my success to.
You know, I've had the chance to go to games in person. I've watched them on TV. The field house is kind of an amazing place to be. Sydney, maybe you could talk about that. The fans and the kids.
Yeah, that was something that we definitely missed this year, is having that packed field house. We have some of the best fans in the country. Just the energy and the passion they bring for the game. They're lining up hours before matches to get into the field house. It's something that's super special and something that I cherish about this program is just the fans in the field house. It's an amazing atmosphere to play in, and I can't wait to play in it again.
Yeah, and Kelly, it's something I think that other schools, when they've come to play in the field house, have over time have been really impressed and maybe even kind of stolen some of the ideas that, or tried to anyway, relating to fans.
Larry, it's amazing. I mean, we'll have fans that will start lining up 3 hours before the matches. And, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours before the matches, the line is almost as long as you can see. And, you know, you come in and we've sold out every match for the last 3 years, I think. Actually, it's been more than that. But the last 3 years since we upped the attendance to 7,000, we've sold out every one of our matches. They're in the process of doing a renovation right now as we speak in the field house, and we should be getting around 9,000 for the attendance. Well, that will take us from number two in the country for average attendance to number one. And so this will be the biggest show in the sport of volleyball in our country. And it's a credit to the players of just how they play the game, how they inspire people to want to come back. But we're so appreciative of, you know, the fans, and, you know, I mean, this is, as you know, this area, there's a lot of sport nuts in here. They eat it up, and they inspire us. I think we're inspiring them. But you were talking about the kids, you know, they surround the court. It's very, very unique. And you'll go
You know, there's nights it'll be three or four deep of kids that are surrounding the court. And so when the starters get introduced, they run by and they high five all the kids at the start. It's really a neat thing.
It is absolutely a neat thing. Dana, have other teammates from our other players from other teams ever commented to you about that?
Yeah, of course. Playing in the field house is, I think everyone kind of gets excited about it because just the atmosphere is so fun, even if you are a visiting team. I've definitely heard some people about that.
Yeah, I would certainly agree. It's so much fun to be a part of that and to be able to get a ticket to get in and to see that. And then this last year was watching it on TV, and it was pretty exciting watching it on TV. I saw all your tournament games and I watched the Kentucky-Texas match, and in some ways it was more fun to watch that match because I didn't have a dog in that hunt, and I could just sit back and be amazed at the athleticism of those players, and then reflected back on the athleticism of UW volleyball team as well. And I kind of told myself, Larry, you gotta just sit back and enjoy these matches and not get so taken up with them. Oh my goodness. It's as a fan, Kelly, it's a real experience watching your team play.
I appreciate it. I mean, it's been a, the last couple of years that these guys have, you know, we're talking to, you mentioned four All-American awards for Dana, but she's one of six players in the history of our sport that's been a first team All-American for 4 years. I mean, it's incredible. And, you know, Sid, I think she's the best collegiate setter in the country. I think there's a tendency of feeling if you didn't win the last match that there's this incredible letdown. But, you know, perspective sits there and says that, you know, these guys have won back-to-back Big Ten championships in the toughest conference in our sport. And back-to-back trips to the Final Four, those aren't things to sneeze at. Those are incredible accomplishments that these two right here on the phone were leaders of. And so there's so much enthusiasm to get back in the field house, to get back in front of a packed house. And I know that the fans are itching to get back in there. And that's one of the cool things about playing in the spring and then turn around and playing in the fall. That's only a couple months away from now. So we're jacked up about it.
Well, as well you should be. It's amazing having a chance to talk with you, and just the whole business about coming back. I think it's great, and it's great that Sydney's coming back. It's I think Lauren Barnes is coming back as well, as at least has announced it. You have several other players. Dana's still thinking about it. Some other players. How, as a coach, does that create? It creates probably a nice issue for you in some ways, but does it create other challenges?
I mean, it's all about the players. This whole experience is going and being a college athlete and getting being able to compete and be able to go to school but it also prepares them for college is also supposed to catapult them towards the rest of their lives. And so, if they feel like it benefits their life of coming back here and doing this again, then that's great. And it's not just the seniors. I mean, it's, everybody, are people that were freshmen that this year doesn't count for them as well. And so, what we're basically looking at is an entire roster of people that, if they choose to, can be here for 5 years and get undergrad and graduate school paid for. And that's a pretty somebody who's still paying off student loans right now, a few decades after being in college. That's a pretty cool thing. So the challenges are all doable. The benefits certainly outweigh any challenges.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you on that. Well, this has been so much fun for me. I hope it was okay for you three. Because I've been really looking forward to talking with you. I'm in the Department of Life Sciences Communication as a professor there. Danielle Hart is a student in our department, so she's one of the players. So we get a little inkling of what's going on with the team, I think, from time to time from her as well. But thank you, Kelly, Sydney, and Dana. It has been a real pleasure. And good luck with Dana. Good luck with however you decide. I know you're going to be successful in whatever you do. Sydney, welcome back for next year. And Kelly, a great job as always coaching. And thank you all. Appreciate it very much.
Larry, thanks for having us on. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kelly Sheffield, coach of the UW Badger volleyball team, Sydney Hilly and Dana Redke, All-Americans and All-American people. You know, they're All-American people. Great to have them with us. Well, coming up, we got a couple of things coming up. A little bit, Tom Hodgecroyt will be with us to talk about well, we're going to zero in on the Brewers. There's lots to talk about with the Brewers. But before that, my good friend Megan Hart is back, sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. It's always fun to see her smiling face. And she's, I think, back. Are you back from vacation?
Yep, just back from Florida.
Little golf. No, you're not a golfer, are you?
I did a little sailing, but I am my parents who live in Florida are 2 weeks post vaccine, and I was 2 weeks post vaccine, so I finally got to go see them. So that was really nice.
that's great. Well, did you follow the Bucks while you were away? The Bucks had they've been playing okay. Had a big win against the Nets on Sunday. How are they looking
at
you?
You know, I have to say Giannis looked great on Sunday. They won 117-114 and he had 49 points. And he just, his shooting was like we rarely see from him. But, you know, it's an important series because we've just got 8 games left this season. The Bucks are 2.5 games behind the Nets, but they play again tonight. So the game tonight and the game on Sunday had some big playoff implications. If the Bucks win tonight, they will hold the tiebreaker between those two teams going into the playoffs. So it's crazy to think we're already getting to the end of another basketball season.
I know it. It's amazing to me as well. Well, who's in your mind? Who's looking good as we go into these NBA playoffs, which are going to start later this month, as you indicated? Who's looking good at this point? The Bucks are looking pretty good.
Yeah, the Bucks are looking good. I think a lot of it comes down to who's going to be healthy at the right time. The Nets, certainly, they've played so few games where all of their star players have been able to take the court at the same time. They didn't have James Harden the other night when they played the Bucks. It doesn't look like he's going to play any more regular season games this year, but Kevin Durant had a great night. He had 42 points. So I think if all those guys can play together and kind of figure that out, probably the Nets are the team to beat in the East. And then, you know, out West, it's been an interesting year with some teams that aren't really considered perennial favorites, really playing some good basketball. And then, of course, the 76ers are leading in the East right now. They're three and a half games ahead of the Bucks, and so they would pose some tough competition. But It'll be interesting. I know the last couple of years the Bucks have been so dominant in the regular season. It'll be interesting to see whether their sort of new approach to a regular season where they try out some different things and don't win quite as many games, don't go in with the top seed, will maybe end up paying off.
Yeah, I'm wondering too. It was certainly worth a try because they haven't done so well when it comes to playoffs, that's for sure. Well, let's switch a bit and turn our attention to the NFL draft. I thought the Packers did a pretty good job on the draft. Well, what do you think?
I thought so too. I've watched a lot of it and read a lot about it, and I think Mel Kiper, of course, is ESPN's draft guy, and what he said is it's hard to kind of give the team a grade or do too much draft analysis when you don't know who's going to be playing quarterback next year. But I think, you know, we knew going into the draft that the Packers had need in the secondary. They drafted a couple corners, including, you know, I think that it's hard to say exactly what will happen with Eric Stokes, who was their first round pick, because he's so athletic and so fast and has the potential, I think, to develop into a really great NFL player, but we don't know, of course, how that'll pan out. We knew they had some need at the offensive line, kind of shoring that up with some depth, and they did that. And they drafted a player from Green Bay and from the University of Wisconsin, and Colvin Landon. So that's pretty cool. And then, they drafted Amari Rodgers, which I think a lot of people consider the wide receiver out of Clemson as kind of the best, one of their better picks this draft. He's a slot receiver. A lot of people compare him to Randall Cobb. So, you know, I think a lot of sort of how we look at it will be kind of clouded by what happened Thursday, of course, with the Aaron Rodgers news. So, you know, it's a little tough to say, but I think they took some good players.
Well, and Aaron Rodgers, we haven't heard all of the rumors have not come straight out of his mouth.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot that we don't know. I think we, at least from the Packers side of things, they've made it very clear that they want to move forward with Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, there's a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation, and I don't think we're a whole lot closer to knowing exactly how this is going to play out. I listened to a Locked On Packers podcast with Peter Bukowski, and he said his impression is that the issue is de-escalating, and we will soon figure out either he's going to sign an extension or we'll get traded. So, that's something I'll certainly be watching over the coming days.
For sure. And I just, in the last few seconds here, I wanted to get to Badger Cole Caulfield. Montreal has to be pretty happy with him.
Yeah, what a great story. So he won the Hobey Baker Award after this past season with Wisconsin. He scored 30 goals in 31 games with the Badgers. He had been drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. He went up after the college season and played with their American Hockey League affiliate, scored 3 goals in 2 games there. He's now played 5 games with the Canadiens, and he's scored 2 over in the last 2 games. He's had overtime goals, and it's just awesome because the Canadiens are a team that's still kind of vying for, they'd been slumping going into the playoffs. They were vying for the last spot in the Northern Division, and it looks like they're going to get it. And he's played an important role in that. So he's from Stevens Point. So he's not only a Badger, but a Wisconsin native.
Yeah, good on him. And good on you, Megan. Thanks for taking a couple minutes to be with us today. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, Larry.
Always a pleasure. She'll be back. We'll have a chance to talk with her maybe for a longer period of time next time around. Wanted to mention a big thanks to all who donated during our spring member drive. Support from people like Kevin from Green Bay. Powers these great programs, the ones you value on Wisconsin Public Radio. If you missed the drive, still time to join in with your gift. Go to WPR.org. And when you do, ask to plant a tree as a thank you gift. You'll support the programs you love, and you'll help preserve our forests in Wisconsin. Thanks for helping us out in your important partnership with WPR. Coming up, Tom Hadricourt, our guest, to talk Brewers for the next 45 minutes or so. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.